flying backwards across the curved surface of planet Earth with sunlight reflecting off it. Large gold letters fly up from behind the horizon as the sun sets and the continents light up. The letters form the word Universal 100th Anniversary across the front of the Earth. A Comcast company. Bright sunlight flares behind the curved edge of planet Earth, moving backwards away from the planet as the word Universal flies around and settles across the front of it in large gold letters. An MCA company. MCA Home Entertainment presents a Stampede Entertainment production. Credits: Fred Ward. Title: Tremors 2, Aftershocks. Christopher Garten. Helen Shaver. Marcello Tubert. And Michael Gross as Bert Gummer. Casting by Merrill O'Loughlin. Music by Jay Ferguson. Creature effects designed and created by Alec Gillis and Tom Woodruff Jr. CGI creatures by Tippett Studio. Film editor Bob Duxey. Production designer Ivo Cristante. Director of Photography, Virgil Harper. Daytime. Grassland stretches away to the hills. Words appear. Petromaya Oil Field, Chiapas, Mexico. Executive producers, Brent Maddock and Ron Underwood. Written by Brent Maddock and S.S. Wilson. Produced by Nancy Roberts and Christopher DeFaria. Directed by S.S. Wilson. A man's legs move along above the ground, the trousers up by the ankles. A man in overalls, a white baseball cap and gloves, pulls himself along an oil pipe above the ground, looking down fearfully. He stops and looks behind him. A puff of dust, then the ground begins to break up as something under it moves towards him. The man moves quickly along the pipe, sitting astride it with his legs dangling down either side. He reaches the end, where the pipe bends and goes back down into the ground. The man looks back as the line of churned earth continues to move towards him. He looks over at a van parked on the other side of some oil drums. The man jumps down onto the nearest oil drum, then leaps across them like stepping stones. The creature under the earth moves quickly, knocking the oil drums over and leaving a line of plowed soil in its wake. The man keeps going, leaping into the next as he draws nearer to the van. He suddenly flies into the air and lands on the ground on his back. A huge worm rises upwards with the man in its open mouth. Its large black pincers close in on him, and it sinks back down into the earth. A cloud of dust drifts away. Scrubland grows in the desert. Words appear. Perfection Valley, Nevada. A man in a blue shirt and black cowboy hat falls on the ground, holding a lasso in his gloved hand.
Wildfire, you're the walking at other corral, or I'm gonna shoot you and drag your carcass in there.
Come on, Wildfire. Come on, boy. Let's go meet Susie now. Oh, you'll like her. You two gotta get together.
He throws the lasso.
Gotcha! Whoa, whoa!
The man's pulled along the ground by the rope.
It.
He's working with an ostrich. The man sits up and nods, looking at the long-legged bird.
Now, you and Susie are going to make me some little birds, or I'm going to take some barbecue sauce to both of you.
The two birds stand either side of a fence. The man looks round and watches with a frown as a taxi approaches along the track towards the ranch. He stands up and brushes his hat off on his jeans, then puts it back on. The man steps out of the paddock and closes the gate as the taxi pulls up. It has an advertising board on its roof for Wayne Newton in Las Vegas. A suited man sits in the back and opens his window. The young driver leans across the passenger seat.
Earl Bassett, right?
He nods.
Told you, that's the other one.
Both men get out of the car. The suited man opens a folder and pulls out a photocopy of a newspaper clipping. He looks at it and compares the picture of a younger Earl and Valentine with the older Earl.
Senor Bassett.
Earl looks at him warily.
This is beautiful country, but very isolated. I had great difficulty finding you, but I'm glad I did. You see, we have had to close down one of Mexico's biggest oil fields. Several workers have been killed. We have now determined that the men were killed by certain large underground animals.
Earl sits up alertly. He stares down at the ground.
Graboids.
Ah, I told you that's what they named them. Excuse me.
You mean there's more of them?
Yes. The company is facing very expensive delays. But more importantly, there are many isolated people who live in the region. Many lives are in danger. We need someone, an expert, to eliminate these creatures.
You want somebody to go graboid hunting?
See. Si.
The other man nods. Earl stands up and grabs his hat.
Senor, please, we have already spoken to your partner, Senor McKee. He is unwilling to help us.
Sure. Val married a good woman. Why would he want to die?
Of course, we are willing to pay.
Of course, they're willing to pay.
Earl goes into his trailer and opens the fridge. He stands in front of it and opens his shirt, then grabs a beer. The driver looks in.
Okay. 50,000.
Go away.
No. He wants to pay you 50,000 for each graboid.
Look. No way. Not for any amount of money.
But for you, getting those worms would be a piece of cake.
Who are you? And why are you so dumb?
Oh, Grady Hoover. It's an honor to meet you, Mr. Bassett, sir. I'm probably your biggest fan. That Reebok commercial with you guys running through the desert? So very cool.
You like that, huh?
Oh, yeah. Listen, could I come in? I mean, just for a second.
Earl shrugs and turns away.
Great.
Thanks. The Earl Bassett.
Oh!
Framed magazine covers.
Yep. I read every one of these. I got two copies of this one. I keep one wrapped in plastic. Oh my God, you got your own one of these.
Oh, I bet you made a fortune off this.
Quarter.
Well, somebody did. Sure wasn't me.
He walks past the arcade game.
Well, you must have got a percentage.
I should have got a lawyer.
Wow. That sucks.
Did he really say 50,000?
Stack of Bibles.
Forget it.
Earl takes one of the framed magazine covers off the wall.
You boys don't know how mean these things are.
Well, okay, but...
That was my big chance.
Yeah, but Mr. Bassett...
You only get one of those in life. Then I blew it. On goddamn Big Bird and his scrawny girlfriend!
Yeah, but 50,000.
That's what she's doing there.
Oh. Ooh. This October 1974.
Yeah, she's there to remind me not to keep chasing after things I'm never gonna get.
But why wouldn't you get this? Earl, Mr. Bassett. You're the expert. You guys kicked ass with those things. And this time, you'll be a step ahead of them. He said the Mexican army is willing to give you whatever you want.
dynamite. Wha-bam! 50 G's.
Earl leans on the sink, looking down out of a window. Grady watches him and turns serious.
Maybe this is your big second chance.
Earl doesn't move. The suited man stands outside, looking at a plastic flower head stuck to a post. The trailer door opens, and Earl steps out. Earl drains his beer, drops it into a crate, and closes the lid with his boot. He walks up to the man.
Señor Ortega, you've got a deal.
Bravo, bravo.
And I'm going with him.
Ah, muy bien, muy bien. If you'll excuse me.
Earl stares at Grady.
What?
Why do you think I drove all this way? When he said he was looking for the Earl Bassett, I knew opportunity was knocking, and for once I was home.
I don't even know you.
I drive a taxi, I live in a crappy apartment, I watch too much TV, et cetera, et cetera. Look, you're gonna need a partner. And how many people do you know who would actually want to do something like this? I'll do anything you want. Carry luggage, make coffee, light fuses.
Earl looks him up and down and nods.
Well, maybe you will come in handy. Ha! When they're eating you, it'll give me a chance to get away.
Earl goes back into his trailer. A truck drives over the brow of a hill on a desert road, with Earl driving and Grady beside him. The truck drives along a simple road that winds through scrubland, throwing up a trail of dust in its wake. An old sign reads, Peligro, Carretera en mal estado. The truck drives on through the desert hills as the sun sets in a golden pink sky. Sitting in the passenger seat, Grady opens a cool box and looks inside.
Uh-oh. Who gets the last soda?
One, two.
What?
Scissors, rock, paper. One, two, three.
What's this?
Scissors cuts paper. I win.
Grady frowns. The truck drives on in daylight through fertile land and pulls up at an oil refinery. Words appear. Petromaya Field Office. The truck stops outside a simple, gray, prefab construction. A mustached man in overalls and a baseball cap watches Earl and Grady get out.
Buenos dias, señores. Ustedes dos son los americanos cazadores de monstruos. Ah, por fin llegaron. Mira, que son monstruos también de la tierra.
¿Quién
está comiendo todo el mundo aquí? No, no, no.
¿Dónde está, señor Ortega?
Ortega, oh, Ortega, Ortega, ven acá, están aquí.
Welcome. Welcome, gentlemen. You made good time.
Well, the sooner we get here, the sooner we're gonna leave.
This is Pedro, the company's chief engineer.
Mucho gusto.
Buenos dias.
Sí, y su nuevo compañero, el señor Hoover.
Ah, bonito también. Buena suerte y que los monstruos no los coman a ustedes.
Pedro.
Pedro walks away.
I have all your equipment over here. Oh, by the way, I have some good news. We are prepared to offer you double the price if you are able to capture one of the animals alive.
Double? Alive? Have you ever seen one of these things?
It is only a suggestion, if it was possible to capture one of them.
No, no, you never know.
Earl, you never know.
Yes, I do. Never should have come down here.
Ortega pulls back a tarpaulin, revealing military hardware.
The army has sent everything you requested. You have asked for some unusual things.
Grady opens a wooden crate full of dynamite.
Oh. Earl, please check this out.
Look, this isn't some kind of party.
I know that. I just think we should show a little enthusiasm here.
Earl stares as a blonde woman in a cowboy hat and sunglasses, white t-shirt and faded jeans, walks towards them. Grady and Ortega both turn and look.
Let me introduce you to Kate Riley.
Hi.
She's the geologist for the oil company. And these are the men.
I know, the monster hunters. I saw you on Good Morning America. Or one of those.
Yeah, this is the Earl Bassett, one and only.
Yeah, that's right. Nice to meet you.
Really nice to meet you.
I'm Grady Hoover, the new guy. Nice hat.
Thanks.
Gentlemen, I hope to hear some good news soon. Miss Riley will stay in contact with me. Let us know anything else you need, and, well, best of luck to you, eh? Vayan con Dios.
So, this is the place. I'll show you around. Are you thirsty or anything, you guys?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I am.
Anyway, we've been pretty nervous down here. Glad you guys were willing to come all this way.
Yeah, sure is in the middle of nowhere.
Well, of course. Stuff like this only happens in the middle of nowhere.
A truck pulls up.
Hey, Julio.
Hey, Kate.
So?
It's all done. They're all working.
Yes. Guys, this is Julio. He's been setting up the seismographs they talked to you about in Earl Grady.
Oh, yes. Yes, I've seen you in the magazines. Oh, actually, I'm not the original guy. You know, you must have made a lot of money, huh? The royalties on that video game alone. Ooh!
So, Julio, we should be able to get an accurate count now, right?
Yes, yes. You know, I have a friend who invested in that company.
Nighttime. In a makeshift lab, Kate puts a pot of coffee back on its stand and drinks from a mug. She watches a monitor.
Hey.
Oh, hi. Come on in.
So, we're gonna look over some maps.
Right. Coffee?
Yeah, black.
Great. How were those, burritos, anyway?
Good.
Yeah, sorry about that. Pretty bad, I know. But with cook gone, that's best we've got.
She moves a microscope.
So, how many of you are still working out here?
Only the three of us. They had to shut the whole operation down. Six people got killed. People I knew.
Now, how come you stayed on? You're not scared?
Shit, yeah, I'm scared. But I'm also fascinated. It's, with me, fascinated usually wins. Maps. I'll get these cores out of the way.
Kate carries the tray of cores over to another table. Earl admires her backside as she puts them down. Then he turns away and unrolls the map. Kate looks round and admires his backside as he leans over the table to weight the map down.
So, have the Graboids come near the refinery yet?
No, so far they've left us alone. They must have stayed about 20 miles north. That's where the workers were killed. Who named them Graboids anyway?
Friend of ours, Walter Chang. He named them. Then they ate him.
Hey, guys! Look what I made!
Grady runs in, pulling a chain with cans tied to it.
Just, you know, drag it behind the truck. Make, you know, make more noise.
Just... He spins the hook.
See, Graboids hunt by sound. I'll probably just go hook that to the back of the truck.
Grady puts the chain over his shoulder and drags it outside. Kate looks away with a smile, and Earl shakes his head. Grady puts the chain on the back of their truck in an entrance to the warehouse. Pedro walks up behind him and stops to look.
Moonstruss.
I'll see.
Mr. Hoover, come here, please. I have the monitor working. Okay. We have set up radio seismographs all over the place, so the monitor will show you where the Graboids are.
Cool. You know, this is none of my business, I guess. But you guys are going out there alone? You don't want to take with you, like, the whole army of Mexico?
Let me explain something to you, Julio. Graboids, they got no eyes. They hunt by sound. Now, you make a noise, even a little footstep, they're gonna come after you. And we get a bunch of people running around. Graboid's gonna spread out all over the place. No, we want them all to come to us.
So you guys are what? You guys are the bait?
That's the plan.
Dark clouds drift beneath a pale orange sky. Daytime. Earl and Grady drive the truck away from the field office. Grady looks out of the side window while Earl drives.
Okay, so, that's us. That's our truck.
A square moves.
Seems like everything's working okay.
Well, sure it is, Earl. This is a high-tech professional operation here. Hey, we got a good plan going. $50,000 apiece, baby. Ho! You know, I'm gonna get mine all in once, just stacked!
Well, if I make any money this time, I'll invest it conservatively.
Hey, you shaved.
What?
No, I just noticed you shaved.
So what? Man can shave, can't he?
Grady smiles.
No, you're right. She's a babe.
A fertile green valley beneath the clear blue sky. An old stone farmhouse with no roof sits in the middle of it. Earl and Grady pull up next to the decrepit building. Grady looks around while Earl pulls a folded map out from the sun visor and looks at it.
Well, here's where they're supposed to be.
Man, look at that country, huh?
Yeah. Not a lot of rocks and boulders out there. Not much to climb on if we don't want to get slurped.
Grady gets out.
There's mountains all around. You said they can't get through mountains.
I said they can't go through rock. These hills are alluvial.
Oh, alluvial. Wait a minute, that's that little dingleberry in the back of your throat, right?
You want to hunt graboids, you better know geology. Here, you drive. I'm keeping my eye on this seismojigger.
Ooh, good call.
Having let the chain down at the back of the truck, Grady starts the engine.
No offense, Earl, but you're nervous as a chihuahua.
I'm not nervous. I'm alert.
Whatever.
They pull away with the chain and cans rattling along the ground behind them. Grady drives over the grass and turns the truck in a sharp S shape. Both of them bounce around in their seats. Grady leans out of his window.
Those worms have to be deaf if they don't hear us.
Hey, take it easy, huh?
Help! A shape moves towards them on the seismometer.
Grady, we got one! They spotted us! It's coming right toward us!
Well, that's the idea!
Yeah, I know that's the idea. Doesn't mean I have to like it. Now stop! Stop already, will ya?
Grady stops the truck. Earl gets out and climbs into the back, followed quickly by Grady. He lifts back the tarpaulin.
Okay, time for the secret weapon. Careful with that detonator. Set it like I showed you.
How dumb do you think I am?
Catch me late on that one.
They watch the ridge of a hill. A remote control monster truck approaches across the grass with sticks of dynamite tied to it. Earl sits on the back of their truck with the remote control, steering it. He backs it up and drives it through the long grass. An oval shape chases the moving square on the seismo.
He's coming in. I think he's following it.
Of course he is.
Grady looks through the binoculars as Earl steers the small truck along a path.
I can't see it, Earl. Earl, I can't see it. Left, Earl. Left! Left!
Okay!
Wait there.
The truck reappears. A graboid rises up, gets it, and sinks back down.
He did it! He took it! Okay, hit it, get him!
Oh,
Earl, what are you doing? Hit it, Earl! 50 G's, baby! 50 G's!
Earl puts up an umbrella as earth and bits of graboid rain down.
Told you.
I forgot.
Grady puts his green umbrella up. A final rock lands on Earl's. They sit in their truck and put their umbrellas up. Another explosion goes off, sending up a tall fountain of earth. They drive back past the farmhouse, and another explosion erupts. Primes the detonator and sets off more dynamite. They drive on and blow up another graboid. Orange liquid erupts out of the ground with the earth. A seismo shows another graboid chasing them. Pearl sits in the passenger seat, pointing at it. A shower of earth drops back down in slow motion. Back at the field office, Earl and Grady clean the gunk and mud off the truck.
Man, this stuff really stinks.
Yeah, don't forget to get that antenna, too.
Grady looks round at orange flesh on the aerial. A radio sits on the grass by the truck. Earl and Grady sit on a boulder nearby, eating and pouring coffee from a flask. They both look up. The radio's disappeared, and there's a hole in the ground. Earl turns to Grady.
You left the radio on the ground?
Sorry, I forgot.
Grady takes a bite of food and looks at Earl. At sunset, the silhouetted truck drives over the ridge of a hill beneath a red sky. At night, they're parked up with a big full moon behind them.
Is that a coyote?
Yep.
Man, he better keep quiet.
Yep.
Daytime. Earl and Grady sit in the back of the truck on a grassy plain with their umbrellas up. Earl looks through binoculars.
You took it. Hey, it's my turn.
Oh, come on, Earl. Let me get one more. Shit.
They play paper, scissor, rock.
Rock, break, scissors. I win.
It does?
A smaller explosion sends orange gunk flying into the air.
I told you one stick would be enough.
You're right.
Grady stares at Earl.
That makes 300,000
a piece.
Oh, I'm feeling lightheaded, Earl.
Earl uses a calculator.
Hey, what you gonna do with all your money?
Invest it.
Well, yeah, of course invest it, but...
Even at 5%, I'll be doing pretty good.
5%? You're talking mutual funds or CDs or something, huh?
That's right.
That's small, Earl. You're thinking small. See, I'm thinking big, okay? I'm thinking theme park. Now, Grady Hoover's World of Natural Wonders.
Whoa!
Or, you know, maybe something simple, like Monster World, or Monster Land, or Worm World.
How about Looney World? Seems to fit. Get off the ground.
It's vision, Earl. Vision is what separates the average.
They both look around alertly. Grady stands on the grass with his retrieved umbrella.
I know that song.
A graboid approaches.
Jesus! Get off the ground, Grady! Get off the ground!
A huge worm rises up just behind Grady. He scrambles up onto the truck.
Jesus, man, those things are huge!
Quiet, you see that mouth?
Earl looks down at the back of the truck, the chains being pulled underground.
Oh, no. He snagged the chain.
The chain tightens and starts pulling the truck across the grass with Earl and Grady in the back.
Can it do that?
Earl hurriedly knocks his umbrella out of the way and climbs into the cab.
It can't be that strong.
He starts the engine and drives forward, but the truck keeps sliding back.
Son of a bitch!
Earl stamps on the brakes, but the truck keeps moving.
Hit the brakes!
I am! I did! It doesn't work!
The chain cuts up the ground as the graboid pulls them along.
Oh! What do I do?
I don't know! Do anything!
Grady gets to his feet in the back of the truck. He picks up a gun and starts firing at the graboid underground. The truck moves backwards at speed across the grassy plain, with the chain tearing up the ground. Earl loses his hat. The truck careers backwards towards a sheer cliff edge. It stops suddenly.
He stopped. He stopped!
They both look down.
Oh, shit.
The train moves again and pulls the back of the truck round so it's parallel with the cliff edge.
Oh, come on!
They start moving backwards at speed across the plain again. Earl looks at the seismo, which shows the graboid pulling them. Grady spots some rocks up ahead.
Rock! Rock! He's going under it! Turn! Turn the wheel! Turn! I'm trying!
Oh, God.
The truck goes up the rock and stops as the chain snaps off. The graboid carries on underground.
I'm all right.
Earl gets out.
You all right?
Wow, chain broke right off.
Jesus, we're lucky.
Earl examines the truck and holds up his hands.
Well, truck seems to be all right.
Earl, that's gonna be the first ride of my theme park.
Doesn't anything ever get you down?
Well, I am blessed with a sunny disposition. Most people seem to like it.
Oh, yeah? What does this do for your disposition?
Eight red graboids are closing in on them. They drive away across the plain.
I think we're gonna need some help.
Help? You'd be crazy enough to want to help us with this mess.
In a large, gloomy room, a framed magazine cover titled Soldier of Fortune, Desert Couple Survives the Unexpected. The wall is covered in guns.
The big guns pounded enemy positions for 72 straight hours. It was the deadliest bombardment of the siege.
Yeah.
Hey, Bert. It's Earl.
How you doing? Listen, this sounds kind of funny. It's because I'm on a radio phone.
It's the only way we can call out of this place.
Earl. Oh! Earl! I haven't seen you in a while.
Well, I haven't seen you. Guess you've been laying kind of low, huh?
Laying low? No, negative. I've been real busy. Lots of projects.
So, how are you and Heather doing?
Well, she's still visiting her sister.
Yeah?
You know, she actually blames our problems on the collapse of the Soviet Union.
Well, you did take that kind of hard, Bert.
Said I was too hard to live with. Said I couldn't handle life without the threat of global war. What kind of things that say to a man?
Well, I don't know, Bert. I guess he just...
Anyway, takes more than that to get me down. I've been running around so much, it's lucky you caught me home.
Well, in that case, I don't know if you'd be interested in this. I'm down in Mexico, see, and I find myself in a sort of situation.
What kind of situation?
A graboid kind of situation.
Bert sits up straight. A light mist hangs above the Petromaya field office. In Kate's lab, Earl and Julio prepare hot dog rolls.
Hey, you keeping an eye on that monitor?
Yeah, I'm watching it. They're just staying up north.
Kate looks at a black fossil under a magnifying glass and compares it with a picture in a magazine.
Oh, my God!
What?
Oh, sorry. Come here. Come here, look at this.
They walk over to her desk.
I've been staring at this fossil for over a month, and I just realized what it is.
Hey, Earl, that looks like one of those spikes on their sides.
Kate, it resembles one.
I think it is. I really think it is. A fossil fragment of a graboid. Now, I know it's going to take months of testing to prove this, but
I... No. Now, this is important, isn't it? Science has never determined their origin. I read that in People.
And that's true. But that's not the only thing, you guys. This is Precambrian rock. Precambrian.
No one reacts.
Precambrian, that means that this is the oldest life form on the planet. I mean, other than, you know, one cell thing, but look at that.
Wait a minute. Now older than dinosaurs?
Way.
So they're from Earth, right?
Yeah.
Damn. Always thought they're from outer space.
Doesn't look like it.
Mira! Mira! El monstruo grande viene acá! Mira!
Look! Look at the size of that! Look!
El monstruo viene! Es grande!
Shelves in the lab begin to shake as the red object on the monitor approaches them. Earl goes to the window and gets ready with a gun.
Ain't no graboid. It's something more dangerous.
A military truck pulls up outside. Earl and the crew go out to meet it. The door opens, and Bert climbs out.
Monster HQ, I presume.
Hey, Bert. Good
Earl,
to see you.
Good to see you.
This is Kate.
Kate.
Pedro.
Pedro.
Julio.
Pleasure is mine.
And,
Grady Hoover. Yeah, read all about you, Mr. Gummer. Yeah, it's a real, real honor. Man, you think you got a big enough truck here?
He the new guy?
So, did you get me one of those seismo monitors?
Hey, no problem.
Hey, what the hell you got in this thing anyway?
Hey! Don't touch, easy. Mexican Army gave me this truck. And a few little items on my wish list.
C4, TNT, explosives, dynamite. They all look round at Kate.
Well, it's a bit much, don't you think?
The three men stare at her.
Maybe I'm wrong. I hope I'm right.
She goes back inside. Bert grins at Earl and Grady.
Makes my homemade stuff look like cherry bombs. Thermite, C4, TNT, high explosive, HE.
Is there such thing as low explosive?
Well, yes, son, there is. I mean, the Federalists offer you anything you want. You guys take one case of dynamite?
What the hell is this thing for?
Might end up in my collection. Hey, got some new equipment for you, gentlemen. Your backup weapons. Can you handle a firearm?
I'll check him out. Shotgun? We're not hunting rabbits down here, Bert.
Not shotguns. Double rifles, elephant guns. Wesley Richards 480, 375 H&H mag. Knock down, power up the yin-yang. Treat them well. But hold them good and tight to your shoulder, or they'll break your collarbone.
So where's Mrs. Gummer? She didn't want to come?
Why don't you get this stuff in our truck?
Sure, no problem.
Bert and Earl step away to the side of the truck.
Look, man, I really want to thank you for coming down. We're in pretty deep here.
Oh, forget it, Earl. I tell you the truth, if I didn't get out of that house and do something, I was going to go crazy. Heather's not coming back.
No?
Called me and told me to send her the HK-91.
Ouch.
Yeah. So.
Anyway, it'll be good to get into something constructive.
A big gun.
Oh, my. What is this?
Grizzly single shot, 50 caliber BMG based on a World War I anti-tank cartridge.
Anti-tank?
Had the bullets custom cast from solid bronze.
Man, Bert, you put a whole new shine on the word overkill.
When you need it and don't have it, you sing a different tune.
Earl and Grady's truck lead the way down a dusty track, with Bert following behind in his army truck. They follow a route through through overhanging small trees and past high vertical rock faces. They drive back to the abandoned farmhouse in the Green Valley and park next to it. Bert, Grady, and Earl all open their doors and look out.
Well, this is it, Bert.
Okay. I'll patrol east. You take the west.
Earl eats a snack.
You know, those are terrible for you. You need complex carbohydrates. Lower those LDLs.
I already gave up smoking, Bert. What more do you want?
Have an MRE.
A what?
Meals, ready to eat. Freeze-dried, foil-sealed. Gotta be foil. Plastic is not an oxygen barrier. Includes entree, cracker pack, cheese spread, mixed fruit, beverage powder, spoon, coffee, cream substitute, candy, salt, matches, toilet tissue. Shelf life of 10 years. Here, take a few. Buy them all the time. Saves trips to the supermarket.
Oh, no, Bert. We don't want to use up all your food.
No problem. Brought 120 pounds of it. Good luck, compadres.
They get back in their vehicles and pull away, heading off in different directions across the valley.
Aw, oh, man. This stuff tastes like toilet paper.
Earl, that is the toilet paper.
Bert's parked up by the side of a road. A remote-controlled tank climbs up a short bank on the other side of the road. It goes into the grass, comes back, and goes down the bank, then comes back up it again. Bert sits by his truck with the controller.
14 May. 1,500 hours. I have a confirmed graboid reading. I'm now employing the technique pioneered by Earl Bassett to make my first kill.
He keeps the tank moving.
Subject has taken the bait. Preparing to fire.
An explosion rips a hole in the road and debris rains down on Bert. Bert sits up again, holding onto his helmet, and straightens out his video camera.
Memo. 4 pounds of C4 may be a little excessive.
Earl and Grady clean mud and orange slime off their truck.
Yo, Grady and Earl. I got one. Over.
Yeah, we know, Bert. We heard it clear over here.
Damnedest thing, too. It had a big chain hanging out of its mouth.
Damn.
Bert, you skunked. That one was ours.
Oh, yeah, son? I didn't see your name on it. Over and out.
Why do we invite him anyway?
Hey. Pay attention. Whoa. We got one.
Wait a minute. It's moving away from us. It must be something else.
Like what? A giant prairie dog?
Well, shit, I don't know, Earl. It's moving away from us.
Earl and Grady look around.
Should we follow it?
The truck drives over a ridge and across the grass, bouncing around on the rough ground. Grady watches the seismo as they follow it.
What the hell is the matter with him? We're making plenty of noise.
I don't like it, Grady. They're getting smarter. That's what they do. They got some kind of plan going here. I tell you, these boys are up to something new. They're digging a trap for us or playing possum or something.
They drive around a cluster of rocks and across some dried earth. A graboid rears up right next to them.
Holy mother!
It slams its head down on the hood. Earl puts the truck in reverse and drives down a steep slope. They crash to a stop.
Shit! How could I do that? Gotta get to Bert's gun!
They get out. Grady sits on the angled hood while Earl climbs down.
Where is he? He should be all over us.
I don't know!
They do that?
There's a new one on me.
Grady looks around while Earl loads the shotgun. Grady jumps down off the truck and almost falls down the slope.
Jesus, Grady, what are you doing? Get off the ground!
I know. I got an idea. Trust me.
He grabs the remote-controlled car and controller and scrambles up the slope.
Damn it, Grady, come on back!
Grady hides behind a rock. He peers over the top of it, then ducks down.
He's still there.
Earl runs over to him and aims the shotgun at the graboid.
What the hell's it doing?
I have no idea.
It lies on the ground facing them, with its thick orange tongue hanging out of its mouth. While Earl keeps his shotgun trained on it, Grady climbs over the rock and puts the remote-controlled truck down on the ground with a few sticks of dynamite in it. Grady jumps back behind the rock. He picks up the controller and puts the detonator in front of him. He pulls out the controller's aerial, then drives the truck up to the graboid, deliberately banging into it. The creature doesn't move, but opens its mouth weakly.
Something's wrong with it. Must be sick.
Probably ate somebody that didn't agree with it.
They both watch it. Grady puts the remote control down and looks at Earl. He suddenly jumps over the rock, runs up to the graboid, and hits it, then runs back again.
Jesus, Grady!
The graboid starts rocking on the ground, its mouth open, and its three long black pincers spread out.
It's okay, Earl. He's not going anywhere. Hey. We just caught ourselves a live one. That's $100,000, Earl.
Oh, yes!
Oh, yeah? What are you gonna do, carry him back?
We just wrecked the truck.
Oh, yeah.
Earl climbs back into the truck's cab and picks up the radio.
Hello, this is Earl. Anybody? Anybody there?
Hey, Earl. It's Kate. How are you guys doing?
Well, we kind of wrecked our truck a little bit.
You what? Are you okay?
Yeah, we're fine. We're going to need somebody to come out and fix us, though.
Just for a second.
Look, would you tell Pedro to bring that big old truck of his out here? It's got a crane on it, doesn't it?
Yeah. It's going to take him hours to get there.
Well, tell him to bring it on out here because...
We're going
to
winch that Slinky on board and haul his ass off to Monster World.
Would you shut up and get off the damn ground?
I'm off.
Earl shakes his head. Nighttime. Earl and Grady lie on the hood of the truck with their feet on the windscreen. The Seismo's blue glow shines out of the cab. They both look round.
Jesus. Damn it, he got himself another one.
Man never sleeps.
Guys, Bert here. Doing a little night fishing. Got three of them on a cluster charge. I'd say we're about even now. Over.
Come on, Bert. This isn't a competition.
Who's competing? I'm just saying the score's tied. That's all. Over.
Well, son, no, it isn't, because we just caught ourselves a live one. How about that?
A live one? How in the...
Well, that's just a little trade secret. Happy hunting, Bert.
I bet that burned a skinny ass.
God almighty.
They look behind them and become concerned.
Something's wrong with our worm, Earl.
Well, what do you want me to do about it?
It lies down, then rears up and drops forward.
Maybe something's trying to eat it out there. Coyotes or something, huh?
Well, they have plenty to eat, won't they?
Come on, Earl. We have got to protect our investment here. We can't just sit here.
Jesus, listen to it.
Poor thing. Well, don't you just feel a little sorry for him?
No.
That's cold, Earl.
Brady climbs up the slope and picks up a lantern.
Where's that Pedro in that damn truck?
They both go to the rock at the top of the slope and peer over it with their torches and shotgun. The graboid lies still on the ground in front of them. Moving carefully, they climb over the rock and make their way towards it. The back of the graboid has been ripped open with orange goo spilt everywhere. Earl and Grady shine their torches over the gaping wound, staring at it. The side of the graboid has been completely opened up, exposing its cavernous innards.
Something ate it.
In 2 minutes?
Well, something happened to it, because there is nothing left inside.
They scan their torchlights over the glistening flesh.
Something came out of it.
What do you mean something came out of it?
Yeah, it did the thing that things do when they change, you know. There's a word for it. It turned into something else, like a caterpillar does. Only I bet that whatever came out wasn't no sweet little butterfly.
They look at each other, then turn their backs and scan the darkness around them.
Damn worms never cut you any slack.
Back at the truck.
I said I think y'all ought to head out to Rio Verde. Clear out until we know what's going on. Over.
Grady sits in the back with a gun.
Kate, did you get any of that? Over. Shit, now what? The radio's out. How could that be? I was just talking to her.
Oh, man. You know what that is, don't you?
Yeah. Another one's doing it.
Grady looks over to the side.
There! There's Pedro!
A vehicle's lights move through the darkness.
About damn time.
They watch as the headlights approach on a bumpy road, then stop.
He stopped.
He stopped.
Maybe he's taking a leak?
Earl and Grady stand on the truck and watch. Time passes, and they're sitting on the hood.
That's a long leak.
Hey, Pedro! Pedro!
Earl sits back down. They look anxiously out into the darkness.
Well, maybe we should go over and see what's wrong.
Go over? You mean walk a mile across open country?
I'm not going 6 feet from that seismo.
Come on, there's no graboids anywhere near us right now. Now I say we go while the going's good.
Grady walks with a lantern and torch, carrying belts of bullets strapped across his chest.
You know, you could carry some of this stuff.
I got what I want.
Earl carries the seismo. They approach Pedro's truck, with smoke coming out of it.
Well, I can't say this looks good.
They stop and peer at the still, silent truck.
Pedro?
Hey, Pedro! Man. This brings back memories.
They start walking closer to the lit truck. Its headlights and roof light on. Red taillights reflecting off the ground behind it. White smoke coming out of the engine. The front's been crumpled.
Jesus. Looks like somebody took a can opener to the thing.
Oh, man, look at that engine. It's torn to pieces.
Grady and Earl look around.
Pedro! Damn it, where are you?
Grady shines his torch at the truck, up the cracked windscreen, to a hand curled over the roll bar.
Hey, there he is!
Pedro?
Pedro's arms have been torn off.
Oh, God!
It's a whole new ball game. A whole new goddamn ball game.
Well, you know what to do, right? Right? I don't know shit!
They both look around, panicked.
Okay. We can hike over to that radio tower. They've got to have a radio that's working. We can call direct.
Bert drives his truck along a ridge road, a row of lights across the top of it. In the cab, he uses a remote control to turn on the video recorder and its light.
14 May, 1900 hours. I've been out of radio contact for several hours, unable to reach Grady and Earl or anybody at HQ.
He shakes his head.
The situation dictates that I return to base.
Bert turns off the camera and light. He drives the truck a little way off the road, stops and reverses it as he turns around, pushing the back wheels up the bank of the road. Bert drives forward again. He uses the remote to turn on the camera and light.
A further mystery. I've not had a single seismic reading in hours, yet I track one of the sightless brutes right into this valley. Where the hell did he go? They do get smarter. Is it possible he learned to avoid the unique sound of my deuce and a half's mil-spec engine? I do not have the answer at this time.
He switches the camera off again. At the radio tower, broken equipment lies scattered all over the ground.
Oh, no, don't tell me that's the radio stuff.
I can't believe this.
Earl and Grady walk up to it.
Oh, man. Can we ever get a goddamn break?
If we get out of here alive, I'll count that as a break.
I mean, there wasn't even any people here to eat. They're doing this on purpose, man. They're cutting us off.
Quiet. I told you they get smarter.
Earl looks around with his torch.
Hey, look.
A blue car.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
It's not gonna have a key.
So I'll hotwire the damn thing.
I like that.
Grady smashes the driver's side window with his gun, and Earl opens the door for him. Grady kneels down at the open door and pulls out the ignition wires.
Grady, what is that?
I don't know, but it's coming this way.
They both take cover on the other side of the car and raise their shotguns over the hood. The panel from the building lies on the ground and moves up and down.
Jesus, how big is this thing?
They track its noise with their guns as it moves around inside the building. A creature the size of a large dog comes out. Earl and Grady lower their guns and stare at it.
What the hell is that?
A bird-like reptile with large tusked jaws and two big feet.
Is that it?
Sure ain't no damn ostrich.
How's a 30-foot worm turn into that little thing?
Shh, might hear us.
It looks over at them, and a fan opens out on the top of its head. The fan closes again, and the creature opens its mouth wide.
Shit, it hurt him!
They start shooting at it as it runs towards them.
Wait. We got him. We got it.
The creature lies still on the ground. Earl and Grady walk warily over towards it, holding their guns steady.
Ugly little toad. No eyes. Wow. Just like the big ones.
Earl, man. We ought to take this one with us.
You're crazy.
What?
A shadow emerges from the building.
Sounds like a bunch of them.
Earl and Grady get into the car.
Come on, man. Let's go. Let's go.
I'm trying.
Let's go.
Grady gets the engine started. He closes the door and they drive away, leaving the creature dead on the ground. Two more watch them go past. Bert drives his brightly lit truck through the darkness. He stops on a narrow track in a narrow gorge and checks his map. Bert takes a pen light out of his top pocket and puts it in his mouth while he studies the map. The creatures are all around him. Daytime at the field office. Dust blows across the ground, and an old sign swings from its beam.
Pedro? Can you hear me? Earl, come on, talk to me. Bert? Anybody? Oh God, what the hell is going on?
Kate walks over to check a monitor.
Oh, man. Hey. Oh, Julio, man, you scared me half to death.
Sorry. Oh. You know the radios, they're out?
No, I know that. That's what I've been doing here. I think the repeater towers are down or something.
How can that be?
I don't know.
Something coming our way?
No. The creatures have completely disappeared off the screen. It's weird.
Well, if the radios are all out, then shouldn't everybody come back?
Yeah, everybody should have been here a long time ago. Okay. I don't like this. This is not good.
Okay. Stay here with the seismos. And then I'm going to go to look for them right now.
Okay, but don't you...
Julio suddenly grabs Kate through the window. She looks down over his shoulder at one of the creatures biting his leg off. Julio's thrust upwards, then he's pulled back down and away from the window. The creature sticks its nose up, and Kate pulls the window shut, then backs away. Kate slams the lab door shut. She grabs a small geologist's pickaxe and wedges herself in between two drawer units. She sinks down to the floor as she listens.
Get it! Bastards!
The door opens and Earl runs in.
Kate!
What are they?
We don't know. The worms changed somehow. Now we've got these things.
Julio, they...
I know.
And we got him, though. We just blew him away.
Pedro, did Pedro find you?
No, they jumped his truck. He's dead, too.
Kate covers her face and cries.
Have you seen Bert? Did he get back?
No. I tried to call him. I tried to call you. The radio.
Excuse me, but I think we should get going.
Okay.
Huh? Yeah.
They go outside. One of the creatures stands on the hood of their car, having ripped a hole.
Oh, no!
Not again!
It eats part of the engine and looks over at them. Earl raises his gun and shoots it, killing it instantly.
Wrecked our car. Pedro's truck. The radio tower. How can they be so smart?
Let's get our butts inside.
I mean, what the hell are we gonna do?
Hey, let's get these windows shut.
Looks like they got the whole thing planned.
Grady, come on. All right. How many of them do you think there are?
All right, I remember. There was three big sacks or bags in that one we saw split open. Huh, Earl? Can't be more than three of those things. In each worm.
Yeah, I guess. Kate, how many big worms were left out there?
You killed all but eight graboids. I was watching.
So if all eight of them changed, that would make,
24.
24 right. Those things left.
How many have you killed?
Well, let's see, we killed one on the radio tower and one out there and, one on top of the car.
That's it?
Well, I'm sorry.
Well, no, it's just that, I mean...
Oh, man, now what?
Thank God it's Bert.
Earl opens the door, and they go outside.
Yes! They didn't get him.
Bert drives fast down the hillside in his beat-up truck. With the windows smashed or riddled with bullet holes, the back tarp torn, and the engine smeared with the orange blood of the creatures.
I think they did get it.
The truck speeds across the yard and skids to a halt. Blood and guts hang off the engine's grill. Bert pulls the handbrake and slumps in his seat. He takes off his sunglasses.
Bert! Bert, you okay? Bert?
He looks down at them.
I feel I was denied critical, need-to-know information.
Well, we're sorry, Bert. I mean, they just changed all of a sudden, man.
We would have warned you, but they knocked out the radio tower.
Come on, Bert, what happened?
Well, when the radios went out, I decided to return to the refinery. But en route, I find I'm in an ambush situation.
Must have been a couple of dozen of these things.
Well, I dropped the first wave with semi-auto fire, but they just kept coming. Sheer luck, most of them were in front of the truck, so I just popped it in the sixth wheel and ran them down. Once it got on board, I handled with a combination of small arms fire and hand-to-hand techniques.
Bert draws two guns.
I am completely out of ammo.
He sinks to the ground.
That's never happened to me before.
Well, shit, who cares, Bert? Sounds like you killed them all, huh?
I hope not. These creatures are very important. You know, I mean, scientifically.
That fact was not lost on me. When it was all over, I saw one of the little SOBs was just stunned. So I detained him.
It's tied up in the back, and Bert whacks it with his cap. Bert drives the truck into the warehouse while the others follow on foot. Kate pulls a chain and partially closes the roll door. Bert gets out of the doorless cab. Some packets of dried food fall out. Earl and Grady put their guns on the truck and look at the creature.
Oh, man, it's drooling.
Don't let him spook you. That line is 1,000-pound test.
Earl and Grady slowly go back to the creature.
Go on, haul him out of there.
They pull it off the truck.
Hold on, let's go.
They carry it through a door and into the lab. Kate goes after them. Under the truck, a tongue hangs down to the ground. Then the creature drops down after it. It lies in the dirt. Then its long tongue reaches up and grabs one of Bert's open dried meals. It pulls the packet onto the floor and devours its contents. Everything is peaceful outside. In the lab, the head of a broom pops up from behind a workbench. It swivels around, one way, then the other. It moves up and down along the desk, from one side to the other. It hits the desk. The caged creature ignores it completely. The broom goes back down behind the desk, and a hand rises up with its fingers splayed. The creature's fan opens up on the top of its head, then closes again. The group stand up.
I knew it. Infrared. It doesn't hear us. It doesn't actually see us. It senses the heat of our bodies. See that? The thing that rises up must be the heat sensor.
It rises up again. The creature's view is of four red human shapes moving towards it. Bert stands at the bars of the cage.
You feel that? Gives off a lot of heat when it screams.
The creature shakes its head from side to side. Bert takes off his cap and wipes his brow.
That's it. I bet that's the way they communicate. The sound doesn't matter. I mean, they make noise, but they signal each other with their body heat.
It only sees heat?
Yeah, it's not so weird. A rattlesnake strikes at body heat.
Well, that's why they tore up the cars. Because the engines were hot. They thought it was food.
And the same thing with the radio tower. That electronic gear puts off all kinds of heat.
So basically, they bite anything that's warm.
You mean they've been acting so smart because they're so stupid?
They watch as the creature's tongue scrapes along the floor of its cage. Grady drops a snack in, and the creature picks it up and eats it.
Now that's not warm. How's he know to eat that?
Well, it tastes it with his tongue. See how he's dragging his tongue all over? Touches anything he likes, he eats it. How much can it eat? Those MREs aren't cheap, you know.
Its solid, long jaws clamp around it.
Looks like he's had enough.
You're feeding it too much. You made it sick.
Give me a break. Probably your nasty food made it sick.
The creature opens its mouth wide, as if retching. A large, fleshy sac appears at the back of its mouth. As the creature groans and strains, the sac works its way forward and drops onto the floor.
Oh, good God!
The creature nudges it with its tusked jaws. Within the sack is a baby who lifts its head and opens and closes its smaller tusked jaws. Kate watches and smiles.
Hermaphrodites.
Kate turns to Earl, open mouth.
They reproduce without having sex.
I claim the little one.
Hey, wait a minute, it was my food.
Whenever one of them gets enough food, they just... And there's another one, and then one makes two, two makes four makes eight. It's exponential.
Well, hell, that gives him quite an edge.
You never see this in higher animals, ever. It's astounding. Don't you guys get it?
Oh, we get it. We just don't want it. I think the little one's getting bigger already.
I think we ought to think about leaving.
These guys have taken a completely different evolutionary path.
One sticks its head through the window. Earl grabs the small pickaxe and slams it into the creature's nose. It backs away into the warehouse where three of them eat dried food.
We gotta be a damn superfood, Bert!
The group run outside. Three creatures block their way.
This way!
Grady! No! No! Not that way! Grady! Grady, damn it!
All right.
This isn't gonna work!
Shit!
The gray building they run into only has a front and side wall. The rest of it is unfinished framework. Bert lies down to look under the door at the three creatures across the yard.
They stopped. They're just milling around. Looks like they lost track of us.
Yeah, but that's not gonna last. We're like sitting ducks here.
Well, I'm sorry. It looked like a goddamn building to me.
Well, why didn't you listen to me?
Come on, these little snappers are blind and deaf. We've gotta be able to beat them.
Grady and Bert look up at Earl. From the side of the building with no wall, a door suddenly appears. It moves away from the building and steps down off its base. The three creatures nearby pay no attention to it. Grady and Earl stand behind the door with Earl holding it up.
I told you, they can't see us.
Great, now what?
Now move with me.
Move?
It's gonna work, damn it. Now move. And step. And step. And step.
I don't know how you come up with this shit.
I think on my feet. Come on! It's working!
Coming at you.
Okay. All right. And down.
Kate and Bert move together behind a second door. The three creatures stand in the middle of the yard, ignoring them.
So, where are we going? Are there any more cars left?
Yeah, one, Julio's. It's by the storage tank.
Which way?
Left, move left.
Okay, ready, and moving left. And step.
They reach the back of a building and put the doors down.
Okay, it's not much further.
Kate leads them around the corner.
Oh, man! God damn it, there's one of them out there!
Didn't see you?
I don't know.
Well, if it had, I think we'd be hearing about it by now.
Bert prepares his gun.
How far is it?
100 yards, about.
That's a heck of a shot.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. You only got one shot? Then you gotta hit it, man. Before it sends one of those heat signals to the others.
I know.
Bert opens out the gun's legs and kneels behind a wooden chest. He rests the gun on it and looks through its telescopic sight.
Cover your ears.
The other three crouch down and cover their ears. Bert takes aim. The creature turns to face him. A blast breaks a nearby hole and tears the creature in half. The others stand up.
Jesus!
God! You smoked his ass.
Doing what I can with what I got.
God!
They make their way across the yard to the body. The bullet passed through the wall behind it and through an oil drum.
Holy shit, Bert.
It passed through a metal container and went into the truck.
Oh, no. Pop the hood.
I got it.
Damn!
We're dead.
The engine's leaking. Bert takes off his glasses.
What? I didn't know. How could I have known? We were supposed to be up against graboids. I wanted maximum penetration.
Well, you've got it.
Now what?
Well, we can't stay here. We gotta get inside.
They run across the yard.
Cantina.
Earl and Kate run together. Grady runs behind, and Bert lingers to check the truck. Three creatures spot them. One of them charges at Grady, who climbs up an oil tower. Earl and Kate run into the cantina and slam the door shut. Bert drops the gun and jumps into the raised skirt of a digger. Kneeling on the top of the oil tower, Grady carefully looks down at a creature who's nosing around the ladder. It looks up at him and opens its mouth. Grady looks around the sight.
Bert?
Grady looks down at the ground.
Oh no, Bert.
The three creatures stand around the raised scoop. One flicks its long red tongue into it and feels around the top. Then another flicks his in. Bert recoils away. The red snake-like tongues leave drool on the scoop's metal surface as they explore along the top of it. Bert pulls out a knife and holds it ready to attack. Grady watches from the tower. The last creature's tongue works its way to the corner of the scoop. Then it drops away, and Bert relaxes.
Bert! It's working! They can't find you! Don't move!
Good! Good idea!
The creature bangs its head against the cantina door. Kate picks up a broom, and Earl grabs a mop.
Oh, this is pathetic!
Wait a minute. I've got a plan, I think.
A tongue slides in through a gap in the door.
Earl!
Yeah, I know! I just need another second.
Kate picks up a bottle and smashes it. She slams the glass down on the end of the tongue. Outside, the creature backs away and falls off a bench. Kate puts her head in her hands. Earl lifts some overalls out of hot water and holds them out of the window.
That's great. Here.
He hangs them on a line.
Okay, get ready to run. We're gonna head for those oil towers and climb.
Okay.
As they pull the washing line, the steaming overalls are carried out into the open where the creatures sense them. Grady watches from the roof as four creatures charge towards them.
Yes! Earl, you're a genius!
Earl and Kate come out.
Come on! It's clear! Hurry!
They climb up the ladder of the oil tower.
You're okay. They can't climb. Watch your shit.
Oh, God. Oh, man.
You can't climb.
Pretty slick, my man.
Slick, man. That was brilliant. God, you really do think on your feet, don't you?
Yeah, well. Hey, where's Bert?
Oh, over here. Now, don't worry. They can't even find him in there. I think he's going to be okay for now.
The creatures surrounding Bert look up at them.
Oh, I'm just dandy. So what do we do now?
Hey, Bert, are you sure you don't have any more bullets? Did you check all your pockets?
You know, as I lie here, I can't help but comment. The reason I'm out of 9mm rounds is I was not properly briefed. And the reason for that is this mission was not properly researched. If certain people had bothered to gather intelligence on the creatures before bumbling into the situation...
Knock it off, Bert!
We wouldn't be down
Nobody
there with
made you come.
Single-shot big bores when we should be packing full auto, preferably belt-fed. Shut up!
They're Precambrian life forms, Bert. How's anybody supposed to research Precambrian life forms?
What difference does it make now? We're stuck on a goddamn roof with a bunch of watches trying to eat us. I mean, I've done this before, and I did not like it.
Oh, okay. Now it's all my fault. So things didn't work out exactly the way we planned. Oh, I'm
I
so
had the
sorry.
Right tools, I'd
well,
finish the job.
Please! Would you just all relax? Now look. Nobody's heard from us since last night, which means that pretty soon they are going to be up here looking for us, right? So all we have to do is sit and wait. Okay?
Earl runs his hand through his hair.
Bert!
Bert folds his arms. Two of the creatures stand in the yard near the oil tower. One of them opens its mouth and starts twitching. Grady sits with his legs dangling off the edge of the tower. He stands up. He roars at the creatures around the digger, who roar up at him. Bert lies in the scoop, inspecting his fingernails. Kate's with Earl.
So I figured I wanted to learn some Spanish and 6 months in Mexico would be an adventure, you know?
Seeing anybody?
Kate sits up and smiles at Earl.
Not since the monsters arrived.
Well, you know, you spend a couple of days almost getting killed, you start, thinking about your future and...
Thinking you should date more.
Well, yeah, actually. Look, I just don't meet that many women who can keep their cool. You know, in a situation like this. What I mean is that
All that matters to me is that a woman can handle herself. It's much more important than what she looks like.
Well, thanks a lot.
Oh, come on. You look great. Enough guys have told you that, huh?
Yeah, well, believe it or not, I made my living as a model once upon a time. I put myself through college.
Yeah, believe it.
I was even a playmate once. Well, gave my dad a heart attack. What?
October 74?
Shit!
Kate gets up on all fours and makes the same pose as the picture in Earl's trailer.
Yep.
Guys. Guys! Oh my God. Look at that.
The creatures have grown feathers and jump onto each other to make a tower.
Goddamn little heat seekers.
What do we do, Earl?
You gotta stop asking me that. I don't know.
What's going on? What's happening?
Bert holds up his knife and uses the blade to look across to the oil tower, where seven of the creatures have formed a tower.
Uh-oh. Smart little bastards.
A tongue slaps up onto the roof and looks around. Then another. Bert carefully pokes his head up out of the scoop. He looks around, then climbs out.
Come get me, you suckers! You hungry? 185
Bert,
pounds of lean meat!
What are you doing?
You know you want it!
Bert runs. The creatures chase his glowing body across the yard.
What is wrong with him?
Has he got a plan?
Bert's always got a plan.
Usually.
Bert runs into the warehouse under the half-open roll door, and the creatures follow him. He comes out of another door and locks it. He runs over to the roll door and jumps on it to close it properly. The others run up, brandishing weapons.
Problem solved.
Hey, hey, yes! Going, you maniac!
Woo! Oh, Bert, you did it!
Yeah.
You tricked the little plug uglies!
How'd you feel to be so stupid?
Woo! Oh.
Oh, Christ. They find something to eat?
What's in there, Kate?
I don't know. Boxes, supplies. Policies.
Dulces.
Hell.
Dulces. Sweet. Goldfinches, I know this one's snack food.
Sweet snack food?
Rice flour.
I didn't know! How could I have known?
Oh, God, don't they ever get tired?
There'll be 100 of them!
Okay, we're gonna run for it!
What? Where?
We're not gonna make it!
Look! Oh, I'm sorry I got you all into this.
Come on, Grady! We ain't dead yet!
Earl looks round at a fire extinguisher on the wall.
Okay! Come on!
Okay, what, okay?
I've got a plan! Sorta!
He grabs the extinguisher.
You're gonna squirt me with this!
That's great! CO2, it'll make you cold!
Right, they won't see me!
Says who?
No, they're right, it ought to work.
For how long?
Well, we gotta try something!
But what is the point?
Look, if I can just get to your truck, I can grab some bombs!
Earl, this is nuts.
Well, yeah, and...
Let me do it.
Don't be stupid, it was my idea.
No, I got you all into this. It's my fault. I'm going in.
Come on! Look, we gotta do it when they break out! They'll blast me!
Okay.
Oh, Jesus.
Paper, scissor, rocks.
Yes! No, rock rips through paper.
Huh?
I go. Give me the shirt. I need the gloves, too. This stuff is cold.
You ready? Here goes.
Kate and Bert both spray Earl with fire extinguishers. They cover him in the fine white powder that forms over his clothes.
Man, this stuff is cold! Okay, here goes. Lock this door behind me.
Lock it?
Yeah, I'll get the bombs and go out the other door.
Bert nods. He opens the door and lets Earl into the warehouse, then closes and locks it again. Earl stands and looks at the creatures, who are eating their way through the boxes of snacks. They pay no attention to him as he starts to move towards them. Earl stands in the middle of them, trying to find a way past. One standing right in front of Earl puts up its fan and stares straight at him. It lowers the fan and carries on eating.
Sounds like it's working.
Brady climbs onto some pallets to look in.
I can't see anything.
Over here.
Kate runs over to a ladder on the warehouse wall and starts climbing up it. Inside, the floor is covered with creatures. Earl slowly walks through them as he tries to get to the truck.
Come here.
The others look through some vents.
Holy tamale, there's dozens of them.
Good Lord.
Wait a minute. Paper wraps rock, doesn't it?
Paper always wraps rock.
Damn.
As Earl moves through the warehouse, the white powder falls away from his clothes.
He's starting to melt.
Earl, you're melting. Step on it. Come on, go, go, go.
Earl climbs up into the back of the truck and opens a case. A creature nearby puts its antenna up and looks over at the truck, where Earl starts to glow red.
I see him.
They start running.
Rope. All right, we need rope or something.
Hang on, Earl.
A hose. There's a hose down by the fire hydrant.
Earl opens another case and takes out a bomb. He climbs along the roof of the truck and onto the cab. He looks back at the creatures. Outside, Brady smashes the vent slats while Bert unrolls the hose.
Here you go.
Kate passes the hose to Grady, who runs it to the vent.
It's too short!
Inside, Earl sets the detonator for 2 minutes 45 seconds. He looks down at the creatures and throws the bomb on the ground.
You hear me? The hose is too short! Bert, hurry!
Bert uses his knife to cut the hose free. The creatures push their tongues up towards Earl, and one tries to jump up at him. Earl grabs onto a light and uses it to swing over them. It breaks loose, and he drops down onto the floor.
Heads up, Earl! Grab it! Come on!
Earl grabs hold of the hose. Grady and Kate pull him up as the creatures watch him. He reaches the top of the barn, and Grady helps him out of the vent.
Go! Run! Run! Go!
I set a bomb!
What?
It's the only thing I can think of!
They run away. Down on the ground, the creatures bang on the corrugated walls, making them bulge.
Hey, what did he do? Ready? Come on! Where the hell was the bomb?
I don't know. I didn't have time. I just threw it in your truck.
You what?
That's 2.5 tons of high explosives, Earl.
You say that's not enough?
Oh, God, Bert, don't tell me it's not enough.
Not enough?
Never mind. Never mind. Just run. Faster!
They stop behind a wall.
No, no, no! Keep going! It's gonna be big, big!
Is he serious?
Bert knows his bombs.
How big could it be?
How long did you set it for?
I don't know, I just pushed it.
God, it's gonna be big, big!
A tongue pokes out under the warehouse door and another one through the handle. The walls wobble dangerously. Bert and the others run to a shallow trench.
All right, this I'll have to do. Get down, stay down, cover your ears.
Oh.
It's gonna be big!
Is it gonna be today?
Brady, get your ass down!
A huge explosion rips through the warehouse, completely obliterating the building. Brady's thrown through the air into the trench. Bert takes his hands off his head and looks up. Earl, who has his arm around Kate, also looks up. Kate lifts her head above the trench. Debris falls down to the ground in front of a billowing cloud of smoke and dust. Earl looks at Kate and takes a piece of straw off her shoulder.
Hey, Grady! Grady! Grady, you all right, man?
Grady's under some debris.
You okay?
Yeah.
Hey. Watch yourselves!
Pieces of the creatures start landing on them. Rocks and sheets of building material fall down. The group looks over towards the bomb site. They look down at themselves. Then Grady goes up the bank of the trench and stands on top of it. Bert and the others follow him.
Wow. Wow. You know, Grady, some people think I'm overprepared, paranoid, maybe even a little crazy. But they never met any Precambrian life forms, did they?
Bert and Grady walk forward together. Earl and Kate follow.
I don't mind hanging around down here for a while. Gonna have any free time?
Well, spend a couple days almost getting killed. You start thinking about your future.
Thinking you should date more?
Well, yeah, actually.
Hey, Earl! I just realized they owe us for 28 worms, man.
Hey, that's right, that's right. We didn't die.
Although, we did kind of blow up their refinery.
Hey, that's just part of the job. In fact, we ought to charge them for all those little ones, too.
Oh, yeah. Hey, we'll have enough to start our own theme park. Grady and Earl's Monster World. Huh?
Hey, no way.
Come on, Earl. This could be like your big third chance.
End credits. Cast: Earl Bassett, Fred Ward, Grady Hoover, Christopher Garden, Kate White, Helen Shaver, Bert Gummer, Michael Gross. Unit Production Manager, Kristen Carr Strubby. Executive Consultant, Gail Ann Hurd. Custom Designer, Rudy Dillon. E-Grip, Gus Vasquez. Best Boy Grip, Jim Sanfilippo. Art Director, Ken Larson. Art Department Coordinator, Joan Schaefer. Set Decorator, Michelle Pulik. Lead Man, Peter Gursky. Transportation Coordinator, Mike Doggett. Transportation Captain, Brendan Dawson. Production Assistants, Bethany Babgat, Craig Keller. Special Effects Designer, Peter Chesney. Second Unit, Director, Peter Chesney. First Assistant Director, Michael Cedar. Production Supervisor, Alan Steinman. Fabrication and Finishing, Mark Taylor, Stephanie Wise, Joanne Bloomfield, Karen Keener, John Brown, Brian Moore, Mark Pereira. Tippett Studio, Computer Graphics Supervisor, Phil Tippett. Optical Effects Supervisor, Jim O'Pearl. Assistant Film Editor, Tracy Adams. Recording Mixers, Dave Parker, Marion Wallace. Based on characters created by Brent Maddock and S.S. Wilson and Ron Underwood. Color by Photochem Laboratory. Copyright 1995 MCA Television Limited. All rights reserved. The characters and events depicted in this program are fictitious. Any similarity to actual persons living or dead is purely coincidental. Stampede Entertainment.